There's an audio to run in on. Like, brought her like some toast.
Relationship goals. Yeah. Been some fun ones. Welcome to the Backpack Show. We're just talking about what we can observe backstage while we're out front opening the show.
So. We're talking about, you know, Chicago DJ Jill Hopkins getting the rub down. That's what we're talking
about.
Well,
like a neck rub, nothing inappropriate.
Nothing weird.
Yeah, nothing weird. That would be weird.
But tonight.
While in the green room.
From Chicago to Baltimore. We're going to have Mighty Mark on. Marcus Gascue, and I would have wrecked your name, Marcus, so thank you for helping me with that. Mighty Mark is a producer, musical genius, a bearer of the torch of what's going on in the music scene in Baltimore. And one of the two people that put together, well, there's a lot of people put together this documentary I saw on Netflix called Dark City that I was going to watch right before I fell asleep. But shenanigans happened because, oh my gosh, so much was going on. And so we had just an incredible time and watching this. I went
did not fall asleep.
Did not fall asleep. Was in love with it. So now we're going to talk to the man himself, Mighty Mark, and shake him down, ask him a bunch of questions. I forgot one little detail, and now I got it.
Welcome to the Backpack Show with your hosts, Chris Brogan and Carrie Gargone. Boom shakalaka.
We've got some of our best guests from your like late night movie viewing.
I tell you, I get onto something, I watch something, I get all excited, and then I say, they got to have a Twitter or something. And then these poor fools say yes to me, and then
oh,
they get
you're ridiculous. Dragged to our show. I did something very similar today. I read a Washington Post article about someone who started a business and they're trying to create a community of like a really inclusive community for people with disabilities and those who don't have, so they can all be together without judgment and stuff. And I was like, that's so cool. And I reached out and she's coming down. So you've got to consume content to make content.
You really do. So Marcus Gascue, the Mighty Mark himself, we're going to drag him on. We're going to ask him a whole bunch of questions about the whole Baltimore music scene, art, what's going on in the culture over there. And, you know, what's life at the very edges of the other side of the apocalypse all about?
You did say hi to your dad, I hope.
I did say hi to my dad. I waved hi to my dad. Hey, Mighty Mark, welcome onto the show. How are you doing?
What up? I'm doing great, and thanks for having me.
I want to play at first just a tiny little bite of your music just for people to get a feel of what kind of stopped me in my tracks and all that. So just a little bite out of your YouTube. This isn't your Netflix special, but just a YouTube.
Mama always said, watch out for bad boys. I'm a good girl, he's a bad boy. Mama always said, watch out for bad boys. I'm a good girl, he's a bad boy. Mama always said, watch out for bad boys. I'm a good girl, he's a bad boy. Mama always said, watch out for bad boys.
That's your often collaborator, TT, the artist, jumping in there to be the MC, keep you moving. She has enough energy for about six people.
Yes, she does.
So not unlike what Chuck used to say about Terminator X, that means you just get to talk with your hands. You get a lot of your expression out in your music. And can you talk about and run us down a little bit what goes into making the music that you care about, that you make out there?
Yes. Well, I'm known for making Baltimore club music. A homegrown dance music, kind of hip-hop blended with EDM, blended with house, kind of born out of Baltimore, Maryland, as well. It's gritty, it's grimy, it's gutter, it's unperfected as well. And my music really just, it's the sound of the hood. It's the sound of the streets here in Baltimore, raw, gritty, aggressive, and in your face. And I've been producing club music since about 2006. And we have Dark City Beneath the Beat on Netflix, which I did the majority of the music in. And I'm a music supervisor. But yeah, just that raw, grimy sound.
Yeah, one of the things that I find interesting about it, at least in the sets of yours that I watched, is that you're not beholden to kicks. It's not all super super heavy bass. You can go in with a lot of attack on your music. And I'm just, is that part of Baltimore sound or is that part of your sound?
it's part of both. It's actually part of both. It's definitely my sound derives from the Baltimore sound. I add my little sprinkles to it. A lot of Baltimore club music came from old remixes and breaks and like samples per se. And I still use samples, but I tend to do a lot more original, or I might have original vocalists hop on a track. I might try to do more songs instead of just tracks with no verses and stuff like that too. So my sound is Baltimore club music, but I try to bring it to the modern time. Some Baltimore club sounds more breakbeat, more like late 80s, 90s hip hop, but my sound is definitely Baltimore club, and I take that Baltimore club influence and I apply it to my other productions too, to my hip hop productions, to my R&B productions. And that's how I kind of put my own spin on it. I take Baltimore club out of Baltimore in my style per se.
So when did you first start realizing that you could create music? Like, when did you start hearing things in your head that, well, other people are just happy to consume it?
Yeah, well, I actually started off rapping in high school. I was the president of the rap club. And then a rap club joined with a spoken word club. It was like 06. I graduated high school in 07. And then like I was rapping, but like, I don't have any beats. Like I need to make some beats. Then someone in my class had FL Studio. My friend Thomas had FL Studio. And he gave me a copy of it. I put it on my busted Dell laptop that I got off somebody else in school. And I started making some beats. I was making like hip hop style beats. Baltimore club music was real big on the radio back around that time. So, and then I was also volunteering at Recreation Center, and the kids like club music. Like, well, hey, Mark, well, you can't make a club beat. Well, I can make any kind of beat. I make beats, I can make anything. So I started making the club music. I started getting on local radio. People was passing CDs, passing my CDs around town, sharing my tracks on MySpace. And then like, they started getting local on the radio. And that was the main thing, because basically club music, it used to be, if you wasn't in Baltimore, then you wouldn't really had a track because the CDs was passed around. It wasn't really online. And I always say I was one of the first people doing Baltimore club that was kind of visible online, uploading the stuff to SoundCloud. So once I started uploading my stuff online, like colleges started to book me to come play. And I wasn't even DJing at the time. So I bought a controller, like a DJ controller. Like, hey, well, we'll pay you a couple thousand to come before. Oh, you'll pay me what? To come perform at this college? Okay, I'll do it. And at the same time, I was working with TT. TT's from Florida, but she went to college in actually Maryland as well. So I kind of had like the street cred. And TT, she got a fine arts degree from the Maryland Institute. Micah, Maryland Institute College of Art, but she got a degree in art. Like she can draw you, she can do all that. So she was helping with my visuals. I was putting her on the beats, and we was going out of state, and I was DJing, and she was like the hype girl, and then we brought the dancers with us, and we were just rocking like that, and then it started just bleeding into more opportunities, and we just kept it pushing. And then TT's idea was to document it. TT's been working on this film close to 10 years. So she started documenting it and she shot it, and one thing led to another. Then Issa Rae picked it up, Netflix picked it up. We just kept it rolling.
Just, you know, satisfy my jealousy. Mm-hmm. Did you also get to hang out with some Issa Rae in this process, or you just talked to other people?
Yeah, we just talked to other people. So I didn't get to hang out with her, but TT got to hang out with her. TT got to go on set of Insecure. Issa Rae been supporting before Dark City. Wow. Issa Rae features a lot of up and coming talent on the soundtracks of her TV show and Insecure. Wow. So regardless of Dark City, me and TT had two songs featured in season one. We had we had a song featured in season two, season three, and wow. Then TT had a song produced by somebody else featured last season. But we done had music between both of us. We done had music in every single season of Insecure. And I think, like, I'm not sure if Issa Rae was just supporting, like, up-and-coming female hip-hop or whatnot. But, yeah, that was a big catapult to help us, you know, move to the next level as well. It's getting them, it's getting them syncs, it's getting them music synced in them HBO shows.
Yeah, here, that's a good way to start. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Great way to start.
The kids say that's all right. Listen, can you talk us through a little bit about the dance? You talk a little bit about what makes Baltimore club dance, what's different about it. It feels so much different to me than some of the other places.
Yeah, so Baltimore club dance is like, it's an outlet. So it's not just about the dance. It's actually community as well. Like, you get off of work on Friday and you don't like your job, but you're stressed out. You want to go to the club and actually dance, dance it away. As well as they have a big song by Rod Lee called Dance My Pain, which is one of the biggest like local club tracks. It's not even local, it's actually worldwide. But basically, it kind of goes hand in hand with the music. Like, sometimes with music, you got the music and then you had a TikTok dance. But this, some like it's all one. So the DJs know the dances and they make certain tracks for the dancers. Like, yeah, I can't wait to see the dances go off when I play this in the club on Friday. And plus we have dance competitions like the King of Baltimore, the Queen of Baltimore. And then we have like dancers like Ty that's in the film and his group TSU that's kind of like traveling all around the world, spreading the dance. So like with Baltimore Club, the dance is almost just as important as the music. And that's not like that. It's kind of how hip hop was back in the day. The B-boys and the graffitis and all that was almost just as important as the music itself.
That's a good way to say it. It's interesting when you said something about, you know, it's got a little bit like the late 80s kind of stuff, but not exactly. But to your point, though, is that you throw in some EDM, you throw in some house. What makes part of one of a Mighty Mark track, what if someone heard this in some other club, without you up there spinning, would they go, oh, wait a minute, that's Mighty Mark? Like, what's some signatures hidden in your music that we should know?
Some signatures are like the breakdowns of my tracks as well. A lot of people use 808s, but the hard hitting, actually 808s as well. The arrangement is always high energy. That's one of my main things. It's like, It might be simple, but it has a nice groove to it as well. But really, like the 808s and like the arrangement in my tracks and the tempo normally between 126 BPM and like 135 BPM as well. But them 808s, them drums, like once you hear those drums, you're like, oh, that's Mighty Mark, them drums are knocking, you know, as well, too.
Do you see the tools that kids have at their disposal now and just get like so jealous, like all the software they can just get and easy to create?
Sometimes, but I'm kind of in a generation that I got to utilize those tools. I said that because I get to use those tools myself. And I'm not like, if I was like 10, because I'm 31. So if I was like 10 years old, I'm like, dang, these people got bought. Almost all the tools like the kids have today, most of it, like samples and stuff, is easy to get now. But I done had a lot of the tools, and I stay ahead. I be on YouTube just watching what's the new software, what's the new keyboard, what's this, what's that. So I kind of stay ahead of the game. But in terms of like computer power, like just the amount of power that technology has to do right now, I'm more look at it like is no reason why you shouldn't get into it. Or like, even when it comes to the business, like there's so much stuff on YouTube, like that I didn't know, or that I had to buy a book, or I had to pay somebody with the information to stay in terms of websites, graphics, like knowing how to market yourself on social media. So I kind of look at it not more the technology, like, hey, they got more stuff. I'm more looking like, hey, use the resources that you got. Because there's a lot of resources, like even with kids, they might say like, okay, like you can look up any answer on your iPhone to your homework. Like, hey, I don't know this. You could say, hey, Siri, what's the capital of this? So I think it's some people that take taking advantage of the knowledge, but I think not all, but some don't know what they have. So I'm not jealous because I kind of know what they got, and I can go pull up my phone and use it myself. I'm pretty up to date with everything that's kind of going on.
I get the unhelpful answers from the phone. Mm. It'll be like, here's something I found on the web, and it'll be about like Wendy's. I'm like, that's not.
I get those too. I get those too. Yeah, I get those too.
Now, you know, if we were a music show, I would ask you way more technical stuff, but I'm going to ask you at least a little bit more technical stuff.
Okay. Because okay.
Here's what I just found, right? Here's Portugal.
Okay. Yeah.
Two, were you on the porch recording beats?
Porch beats. Oh my gosh, it's killer. Yeah. So, where does the noodling come from? What do you do? Like, what do you start with? That here you go, I'm gonna make a beat now. I know I'm gonna make a beat. Or do you just push yourself to do it? You're like, I'm gonna get on this porch. I'm gonna make some beats because I haven't made some beats. I gotta get back to it. Like, what comes first for you?
Usually, it's a push. Usually, like a push. I'm like, okay. I put my daughters, I have two daughters and I'm married. So I'd be like, okay, well, the daughters, they sleep, wife, and she doing some homework. Let me go on this balcony and make a beat. And I do stay up to date with like samples and samples of different sounds you can use within your beat or plugins. They're like virtual instruments. So I always keep up to date, and those little things help spark the creativity. So I just came from a trip from Atlanta, and I had my MPC, which was I had on the porch. I just throw a lot of samples. I might buy a bunch of samples at one time, and then it'll last me for a few months and go through them, then come back around as well. But normally, I might hear something on TV. I might be having a conversation with somebody. I might watch the basketball game and then be playing a song in the background of the game. So there's a lot of different ways that like ideas can flow from.
We have to dig into a couple ads, so I'm gonna put you backstage just for a minute.
No problem.
We have questions about your work as an advocate as well. So
yeah, we're coming back to our business.
Cherry Hill Arts and Music Festival. So don't go anywhere.
No problem.
All right, I'm reading some ads real quick, and I really mean
real quick because we have questions.
I know.
For Mighty Mark.
Hang on. All right. Hey, do you like podcasts? I sure do. You can get our podcast, The Backpack Show, anywhere that they make podcasts. But we do that because we're hosted by these guys at Castos.com. Castos.com. Hey, I was doing some work with these guys today. This is called .online domain, people. So do you want a .online domain? You could have mightymark.online. Who would think about it? cbrogan.me/online. It would cost you $1 for the whole first year of having .online as your domain. You could get that.
Yep.
Hey. This show is made by StreamYard.
We make it, but we use StreamYard, and it's very
easy. There are robots, and they come and they do the whole show.
I don't think so.
Probably not. There's StreamYard.
But it makes it very easy for us to bring guests on and to share your comments and thoughts and to invite you in the studio with us when we have one of those fun join us episodes. So super easy. cbrogan.me/StreamYard and make your own show.
Being your own Mighty Mark. Hey. Do you want to stick it to the man and not do Google anymore? Me too. Go to presearch.com and you can search, or presearch.org, one of them, and go search, because this is a search engine that's not made by Google, and it's made by people that got stuck by the nice people at Google and decided, we don't need your search engine, we'll make our own. And it's got cool crypto coin powers inside of it. You can do things like, say, Baltimore, and if you have enough coins, you could stake that, so it goes right to Mighty Mark's page, so he just becomes all of Baltimore. So
cool. And you don't have to log in if you're creeped out. Like, you don't have to. You don't have to accept the crypto coin. It's okay.
An old regular search engine. Yeah. Okay. That's it. I did all my ads, so I can now. Can I come out and play?
No.
Can I? Oh. Can I grab Mighty Mark?
Yes.
You ready? Hello, Mighty Mark. Yes, maybe a little more up. So you are part of an legal advocacy in Maryland, but you are interestingly not a lawyer.
That is correct.
How did that all happen, and who approached who on that one?
Yeah. So my friend Adam, he's the executive director of the MDVLA, Maryland Volunteer Lawyers for the Arts. So I'm going to take it back. So a few years ago, I think it was like 2010, I was on the cover of the local city paper. And Adam's mother sends him to Adam, a lawyer. He was to school in California. Adam's parents sends him to actually newspaper just to check out and look in, et cetera. So he's a fan of Baltimore Club. So we seen me, it was like, oh yeah, Baltimore Club. I'm coming back to Maryland to get married after I finish law school. So when I get married, I want club music at my wedding. So I played his wedding. We always kept in touch. The Maryland Volunteer Lawyers for Arts does like art clinics, and they do special events where they might speak about the law and stuff like that. They like to have artists come. I've done a couple speaking engagements with them. They had me sample certain parts of the song and say how this can be fair use, how this couldn't be fair use. And we just built a relationship with them. Then Adam was like really adamant because with the, a lot of times with boards, like, and they got volunteer lawyers for arts in different states as well. But what happened is a law firm, let's say each law firm sometimes has to do a certain amount of hours, like community hours or free lawyer hours or whatever. So each law firm, they get like a lawyer to be on a different board or something of that sort. But what happens is you have a board that just there just to say they're on the board and not really active and stuff. So one of Adam's, main thing was to try to get people that ended up to be an act to promote the brand. Cause like I knew Adam, and I knew I could pay a small donation to have a lawyer look over a big contract, something that would cost thousands and thousands of dollars. But a lot of people didn't know. A lot of people in Baltimore still don't know about the Maryland Volunteer Lawyers for Arts. But with me being ambassador for it and being on the board, it helps spread the word out. And it's a lot of artists that I know that's got help through the board that probably wouldn't have knew about the board if I wasn't on there. So it's been great.
So your sacrifice being in a room with a bunch of lawyers day in and day out, it's worth it.
Yeah. And it gives me different perspective when I'm speaking with people about my different agreements and just a different mindset as well. And even with the lawyers, it's like they don't, some of them like, hey, well, how you do this? How you do that? What you do this? Oh, and that's so cool. So like, I think sometimes, especially with artists, you think like, oh, a lawyer, you know, they went to school for 8 years or, you know, we are just, you know, everyday people just trying to get by and trying to, you know, live our life and take care of our family, et cetera. So it's definitely been good to be like a different voice, but I've learned a lot being in these boardrooms, and we have an amazing board, and we have, like a few other people that's not lawyers on the board, but they're real energetic about spreading the word, about learning, and about making sure the community knows about this service as well. Because this is a great service. It's a life changer, life saver.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I'm thinking about when you say this is when we talk to Sir Mix a lot, one of the things he's done a lot is he's got a label like almost every producer has. He spends a lot of his time talking people out of joining his label. He says, you know, you got to understand something, you know, back in the day, there was no other way up but this, but now with guys like Macklemore and everybody like that, you know, there's a lot of people who came their way up, you know, through SoundCloud, through Bandcamp, through all those places they made it up. Do you find you get the opportunity to educate kids and up and comers? I shouldn't even say kids, right? Could be 30.
Yeah, definitely.
Up and comers come up with you?
Yes, I definitely get the opportunity, and I get the opportunity to let people know about the value of their work. Because sometimes when you're doing it, like you just do, hey, I'm gonna do music for the rest of my life, or I'm gonna do it, but you don't understand like the value of your work, the value of your catalog. So I definitely get people to teach that. And you don't have to have like a million streams like you look at Macklemore, even though he does have, you don't have to have a million. Like if you get 1,000 people just to spend like $10 on you like a month, that's $10,000. Just off of, if I'm doing my math right, that's $10,000.
I'm terrible at math. That's why I became a lawyer.
So I'm definitely been able to teach people about like ownership. Ownership is big. It's a real big thing. Just maintaining your ownership, controlling your work as well. That's what these labels do, is they'll pay for your studio time, but then they own the master. And then like after you're gone, they exploit their master if someone wants to sample your record. Instead of reaching out to you, reaching out to a label, when you could have just paid for the studio time yourself. Now, like labels aren't like, it's still, labels still have a lot of benefits of, you know, being labels, and their kind of role has changed. But labels not really doing artist development like how they used to do. They waiting for stuff to pop and then they put in money behind it. So yeah, definitely get them. But some people, like a artist that doesn't want to learn on social media and doesn't want to do those type of things, they might need a label. And that's fine. You know, some people just want to play the piano and sing, and that's fine. And the label puts the creative team behind them, et cetera. But I've definitely been able to like teach people how to value their work as well.
You have some new music that you're working on for an upcoming festival?
Yes. So I'm working actually on, I have a song dropping. I don't have a release date just yet. I just want to think about when I want to drop it, but we perform it at the Cherry Hill Arts and Music Festival on July the 4th. The Cherry Hill Arts and Music Festival is really close to my heart because it's in my neighborhood, Cherry Hill. I grew up in Cherry Hill Projects, and a song that I actually have a few songs, but one of the songs that's my song that I'm putting out as a DJ producer is Chance Right Now, featuring Ernest Third. He's actually on the first song in Dark City Beneath the Beat as well. I also have an artist that I'm working with. I'm producing a whole album, Sunny Cow. She's performing. I have my friends Mike Zone and Coy Little. Both of them are performing. So I'm doing a lot of music there. Like I'm DJing behind artists playing for my stuff. So it's going to be dope.
And it's virtual and it's free. Yeah.
It's virtual and it's free, and there's a lot of other people performing. Like, they ain't even announced everything yet, but I've already been like telling people, which is, they don't care. I've already been telling people I've been performing and stuff like that. So yeah, it's just going to be dope, and it's less than a month away.
That's so exciting. Everybody go check that out. What are you doing back there, Christopher?
I'm not talking to you right now. I'm going to show just a tiny little bit of the trailer of the Dark City Beneath the Beat. I wanted to show just a little bit of what I'd be so psyched up.
Okay. We can only hear it. There we go.
That's what I can do.
People die young here. People get misguided very fast too.
I done seen a whole lot walking on these sidewalks. I done seen a whole lot walking on these sidewalks. I done seen a whole lot walking on these sidewalks. Walking on these sidewalks. Fiends online waiting on that crack pipe. Who gonna save them from hard times and dark nights? 5-0s and P.O.s, they only bring you strife. I'm just trying to blow my trio. Just let me get my life.
Baltimore club music? It's like a rush, bro. What? Energy. What? It's everything. It's emotion.
Do you get the flavor? It's an event. It's something. How many of these people do you know already? Isn't that just so big and hype?
Yeah. It's amazing. It's excellent. Those are all my friends, all people that we have been in the club with in the local Baltimore community. TT had over 100 creatives in the film as well. So it's really a big moment for Baltimore in general to have our culture on Netflix worldwide for everybody to see.
what do people come away with? You know, what's anybody know about Baltimore before you is they know The Wire and they know Homicide: Life on the Streets. That's about it. What, and they, you know, maybe the Ravens or something. But like, what do they know when they leave this thing right here? What do they know when they leave watching Dark City?
When they leave watching Dark City, after you watch Dark City, you'll see that Baltimore has a lot of talent, because just about all the talent in this film is from actually Baltimore, Maryland, reside in Baltimore, Maryland. You'll also see that we're more than The Wire, because for years, and I love The Wire, but for years, like, okay, they just see like that negative connotation. But you'll see kids dancing in the streets, producers, makeup artists, events, really just highlight our Baltimore club culture, but just Baltimore music culture in general as well.
All right. I just got one most important question is, once we get all done with crabs, what else we got to have here? Snowballs, Natty Bowl, what do we got to have?
Well, I mean, I guess crab cakes. Okay. Crab cakes. I love me a crab cake. My mother-in-law just got me a crab cake yesterday, and I ate it as well. I smashed it. You can go to G&M's. You can go to Papa's. Both of those are two places to get crab cakes. Chicken box, four chicken wings and Western fries with a half and half. That's a big one, too. So I would still say if you get crabs, I mean, crab cake, use crab meat, but crab cake is a different texture and feeling. So crab cake and the chicken box. But a half and half to wash it down.
I like it. Okay. Not a National Bohemian, not a Natty Bo.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm in it. All right. Listen, we are down to the end of the show. I almost said we're down to the wire. We got to do a couple more things.
And here's our person of the day. Kaboom!
I'll cut you off. I'm not afraid to cut you off.
What, me? No, you're not. It's like a spectator sport when you cut me off.
I think Leslie's a Mighty Mark fan, so we're gonna put it
Thank
right
you
on
so much.
Leslie. She's a person that died.
She's also a crab cake fan.
Yeah,
wonderful.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. Crab cakes are delightful. We can have some of that. Now we're gonna ask you the one question we've asked every guest who's ever been on this show, which is, what goes in your backpack? Again, it could be something physical. It could be something metaphorical. Carrie, what's a good physical thing someone could throw in a backpack?
Extra set of teeth.
An extra set of teeth. That's a pretty good one. Hey, what is something metaphorical you can put in a backpack?
Kindness. I think kindness.
Kindness is a good one. All right, Mighty Mark, it's time to add. What are you going to throw in the backpack?
I would say I'll give you a physical. Physical for me in my backpack, I got to have my MacBook. That's what I do everything on as well. Metaphorical. I'm going to say, is adaptability a word? Being able to adapt, because things change, you know, and being able to adapt and go with the flow really has helped me a lot in my life, being able to adapt to different situations and just sit back and think, okay, what would this person think? How would this go? How does this feel? And just not really just like just jumping right at right at your first reaction, just sitting back and being able to adapt and think of all angles.
I like it.
You're very laid back for somebody who hangs out with a bunch of lawyers a lot.
Yeah. But most of the lawyers in the MDVLA, a lot of them like creative type of things, so they're more kind of and more laid. I think they will be more laid back than a lot of the traditional lawyers.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Not like mergers and acquisitions.
Yeah, right. Not just boring stuff. A lot of them do a lot of fun stuff on there, like off time and stuff like that. So it's been really cool to see the other side. But I'm not at their day job. And their day job, it might be a completely different, you know, this is the law, why this and all. But it's cool. Everybody just trying to live their life and help the world in some kind of way.
Leslie's on about wanting some crab cakes to go with her apple, Chris.
I think that's a plan. So listen, you got to check out Mighty Mark. You got to keep on top of this new song that's coming out. You got to watch his performances all throughout Dark City Beneath the Beat. Mm-hmm. One of the things that my grandmother said about the one and only time she went to Baltimore was that if you don't bring your own spices, they're going to hit you with Old Bay.